I'd like to speak to us today about a new way in Christ. A new way in Christ, based on the passage of scripture that was read, which came to us from Hebrews chapter 10, reading from verse 19 to 25. I'd love all of us to have our Bibles so that we can follow together. A new way in Christ. And if we are going to talk about a new way in Christ, it is indicating that we are making reference to a whole way as well. There was a whole way, which was not necessarily through Christ. But this time, we are referring to a new way in Christ. And it is interesting to remember what that old way was. And briefly, I'm going to try to remind all of us of what that old way was. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 6, say to us, now when these things were thus, ordained, the priest went away into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. Verse 7, but unto the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. I read verse 8:2 because it has something there to bear on what I'm going to say later on. The Holy Ghost thus signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. That is the part that has some bearing on what I am about to say. While as yet the first tabernacle was standing. Now that passage, that those three verses, especially the first two verses, 6 and 7, speak to us of what used to take place before the introduction of Jesus. Every year, the Lord requires that a certain thing be done in order to remove the sin of the people of Israel. And what happened is that Moses instructed the priests as to how on the Day of Atonement they should operate so that the sin of Israel would be removed for a year. And one of the things that we discover from this passage is that whatever the priest was supposed to do, it got to go according to the book, precise according to what was described by Moses. And so this makes it very challenging for the priest. Very, very challenging for the priest, especially on the Day of Atonement, when he had to go into the Holy of Holies. And not only that, the priest would go into the inner court, the Holy of Holies, but he also had to make sure that he cleansed himself and attire himself with certain garments so as to make himself ready and holy to be accepted. A very big challenge for the priest. And on this particular day, I would like to remind us as to what normally takes place there. So the priest would offer the sacrifice. The priest would kill the sacrifice, whether it is a sheep, a lamb, a goat, a bull, whatever was prescribed by Moses to be done on this particular day, the priest would get himself ready in order to carry out all the responsibility right there. So I want our believers here, our members, our visitors, to understand what it is that we are saying, that there is a new way in Christ. Because as the priest on the Day of Atonement would take this blood of the animal and he would enter into the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant is, where the presence of the Lord dwells as far as the earthly tabernacle is concerned, which he approached with the consciousness that if everything does not go according to what was prescribed, it could mean death for him, the priest. And as he enter into this Holy of Holies, there are many things that are passing through his mind. One of them is, what if? What if up in this blood, in a basin, in this container, and I'm moving into the Holy of Holies, where the presence of the Lord is? What if, as I examine the sacrifice prior to this minute, I did miss something? I miss a scab somewhere on this animal. I miss a defect somewhere on this animal, which would make it not worthy to be offered up as a sacrifice. What if I should overlook something on this animal? Not deliberately, but because it was not properly searched. It was not properly examined. And now I have the blood of a defective animal in my hands. What if? And that creates trembling as far as the priest is concerned as he entered the Most Holy. The Lord tells us in Exodus 28:33-35 that you have to wear what is called bells on the bottom of his skirt, of his garment. And as long as the bell keep making noise, it would indicate that he's still alive. As he walked towards the presence of the dwelling of God in the tabernacle, and that mercy seat, that he has got the covenant, trembling with this container of blood as he administered it there on behalf of the people to remove or appease the sin that occurs over the years, over the year. And this is something that is the priest does once per year. Every year, he had to offer sin sacrifice for himself, and he had to offer it also on behalf of the people. I want to say to all of us here this morning that you and I have gotten to a place where we see God as a holy God. And God's has not changed. God's holiness has not diminished in any shape or form. God still see sin as sin. God sees sin as an enemy. God sees sin as something that deserves punishment. God sees sin as dangerous as far as his holiness is concerned. And I trust this morning in this service that you and I are looking through the lenses of God to see sin for what it is. God requires that the priest carries the blood of a spotless animal. So as to allow him to forgive the sins of the people. And brothers and sisters, I want to say to us, that goes on for many years. Because the last verse here that we read, it said, I read it again, that is Hebrews chapter 9, verse 8. It says, the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. It means that the second approach that God would introduce would not take place unless there is an end to this type of practice where the priest would go into the Holy of Holies once per year. But let us look a little further. Let us look at verse 11 at 9 and Hebrews chapter 9 and 12. Hebrews chapter 11 and 12. But Christ, let's just look on the change. But Christ being come an high priest of good things to come. But Christ being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. Meaning, we're not talking about an earthly tabernacle now. We are talking about the heavenly tabernacle. Not made with hands, that to say, not of this building. The tabernacle we're talking about right now is not in Equidance, and it's not of the building that was in Israel. It is a heavenly tabernacle that Jesus now has become the high priest of. Let us look at verse 12. That is Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! God has introduced now a new covenant, a new way in Christ for the Redeemer. Not by the blood of bulls and goats, but by his own shed blood. He himself had to die. John described him as he passes by to his disciples and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." A new way in Christ. And contrary to what used to take place there with the priest, as he would be going into the Holy of Holies, wondering if he had missed something on the sacrifice that he had just slain, which would cause the blood in his hands to become ineffective, not being able to be accepted by God, because the animal was flawed. What we find, as we have just read in that particular verse there, is that the word tells us in Hebrews 9:12 that Jesus, not only was he offered and sacrificed, but he himself took his own blood that was shed, and he entered with it into the Holy of Holies, and he presented there before God, and it was accepted. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! He is our sacrifice. He has become our high priest. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And I want to just add here before we come down to this section here that was read earlier, that it is interesting, the word said, that when the high priest was going into the Holy of Holies, according to Leviticus chapter 16:17, not a person, not one person should be in the tabernacle at the time when the priest is about to go through that curtain to present the sacrifice. Not even the breath of a person in the tabernacle should be there to contaminate that blood that he is carrying it in his hand. That is to the extent of how God is serious against sin, that it should not come across his dwelling. That even the breath of a person supposed to be in the sanctuary has the high priest pass through and go into the Holy of Holies. And I want to remind us, that curtain that separates the Holy of Holies, we have learned that it was 60 feet high. 60 feet high. And the thickness of the curtain was 4 inches. God was determined that the Holy of Holies must remain sacred.
Yeah.
Must remain pure. Therefore, as the high priest makes his way towards that curtain, and whatever mechanism is used to get it open, no person must be in the temple. Not even the breath of somebody should contaminate the blood that he's carrying in his hand. And as I read that, Leviticus chapter 16, verse 17, my mind runs back to John 20, 17 and 18. What happened at the tomb when Jesus was raised from the dead? Mary Magdalene ran to the sepulchre, wanting to find out, investigate about the risen the Lord. She went there, she didn't see him in the sepulchre. The stone was rolled away, according to John 20. And she was wondering, where is he? So she saw somebody. She saw somebody she thought was the gardener. So she turned to the gardener and said, Where is he? Where have they put the body? And the person she thought was the gardener says, Mary. Mm. And immediately as he said that, she discovered it was the Lord. Only Jesus called her that type of way. Mm. In the very same way, when Jesus is calling your name and calling mine, if all of us had the same name, when Jesus called your name, it would be different from how he called me. He said to her, Mary. She immediately realized it was the Lord. And she thrust herself forward to grab him and hold him and hug him and embrace him and do all the things that somebody glad to see somebody would do. And Jesus said, no. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. For I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go and tell my disciples that I am alive. And I'm ascended to your Father and to my Father, to your God and to my God. And as I remember reading Exodus chapter 16, where it said that no one should be in the tabernacle at the time when the high priest is taking the blood of the sacrifice into the most holy. Not even the breath of somebody in there should breathe to contaminate that blood. I remember what Jesus said to Mary. Don't touch me at this time. Don't touch me. I got to go into the Holy of Holies with the blood, hallelujah, with the blood of the sacrifice, which is me. after Jesus had accomplished that, the next Sunday he appeared before the disciples. And he said to Thomas, I understand you want to see me. Here is my hands. Put your finger in my hand. This time somebody could touch him. Because the eternal sacrifice, once and for all.
Yes.
Once and for all was offered and accepted by God himself. Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God, hallelujah, had accomplished this feat by giving up his life as a ransom to redeem you and me. And as a result of him doing that, on the tree, on the cross, the veil of the temple, the same hour, 3 o'clock, the veil of the temple, that 60 feet high, 3 inches wide, 3 inches thick veil was rent in twain. Was rent in twain from top to bottom, indicating that a new and living way has been found. Hallelujah! Not by bulls, not by goats, but by the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That's why we have today what we describe as a new way in Christ. That is Brother Hines read earlier. Having therefore, that word therefore mean a whole lot. Somebody would ask the question, what is it there for? Having therefore, brethren, boldness. Look at these choice words here. Having therefore, meaning all the things that have been said before in regards to how sacrifices and things were offered. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he had consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Hebrews chapter 10, 19 and 20. The writer is indicating to us, having explained all of what used to take place. Now we have a new way into the Father, into the presence of the Lord. Jesus himself declared, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hallelujah. A new way in Christ Jesus. I like the word, I like what he said here in verse 20 again, if I read it. By a new and living way, which he had consecrated for us. A new way, a new and living way. First of all, here, not dead animal, but Jesus who is alive. Jesus declared to John in Revelation, behold, I am he who liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. A new and living way has been carved out by Jesus, and therefore it is consecrated for us. It is set apart. That new way is now set apart for the believers to enter into the Holy of Holies. And what is it that caused us to be able to enter into the Holy of Holies without trembling, without fear, like the high priest, wondering if he did not examine that animal properly and the blood which he was carrying was contaminated, and therefore it would be struck dead before the mercy seat of God because the sacrifice was not up to par according to what Moses had said. We are told here, that boldness has been introduced to the believer. On what ground is this boldness introduced? Verse 19 again says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus. That is what caused the boldness to all of us. I remember Romans, Paul writing in Romans, declaring, Romans 5:9, declare to all of us that the blood of Jesus sanctifies. The blood of Jesus sanctifies. We are sanctified. We are cleansed. We are made pure by the blood of Jesus. Therefore, the writer here says, having boldness to enter by the blood of Jesus. It's that blood that sprinkles our heart that gives us the right to enter into the presence of the Lord. The boldness by the blood of Jesus. When God sees you and I coming, God is looking for the blood sign. God is looking for the blood sign. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And not just any blood, but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the new way that we have right now is in Christ Jesus as we approach the throne of God. And the word tells us that we are to approach it with boldness, with confidence, with assurance that God had accepted the blood of Jesus and we are accepted in Him. Hallelujah. Because we too have the blood of Jesus on the doorpost of our heart. So Hebrews tells us in another place that we should come boldly to the throne of grace where we can get help and find grace in time of need. The boldness of every believer. Whenever time you go down in prayer, be it at your bedside, whether it is on the regular prayer night and Tuesday nights, or whether it is in the middle of the night when our sisters gather together to pray. It is that level of boldness and confidence as we approach the throne of God comes because Jesus has provided a new way to the Father. Every time that we open our mouth to pray, it is with the consciousness that is Jesus who made this way possible because of his death, his sinless life, and his death, and the blood that sacrificed was accepted by God the Father. Hence, we have a new way consecrated for us, the Bible said. Through the veil, through the breaking of his flesh, from which the blood drained. It is through there that this way is made, that is accepted by God. You and I, as believers, as of this day, make sure that every time we approach God, we are doing it in the name of Jesus and because his sinless blood, hallelujah, has been applied to the doorpost of our heart. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Because God's eyes are still pure and holy. Not interested in looking at sin. Do you remember what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane when Adam sinned and Eve? The word tells us in Genesis chapter 3, I think verse 24, tells us that God placed cherubims in the garden. God set flaming sword from every corner of the garden, from every way of the garden, to protect what? To protect the presence of him, which is represented by the tree of holiness. So that sin will have no chance of coming in to the presence of the Lord. Think about that. Cherubims and flaming sword were surrounding the garden to protect it from the intruder of sin. When we think about that veil, that massive veil in the temple that separates the holy from the holiest, 4 inches thick, 60 feet high, protecting the very presence of God from the approach of sin. You realize that God is serious about sin. As we lay that as a foundation here, let us see what the Lord requires of us. Let us see what it is that the Lord requires of us to do. And there are 3 things here that we'd like to point out that we have seen, where the fact that we have entered into this new way in Christ as believers, we have become special people in the presence of the Lord by way of the blood of Jesus. And let me say to all of us here, if you have not yet applied to the blood of Jesus for the cleansing of your sin, today is a good day to do it. Today is a good time to start. Because when I see the blood, I will pass over you. We go about our business as if sin is no big thing. Maybe it is not to you, but to God, it is our enemy. So there are 3 demands here, we see. As long as we are in this way, God is expected of us. And they are in three consecutive verses. Verse 22, the three letters. The three letters. And it is important that we use our Bibles to follow these lines here. Verse 22 said, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Having discovered that a new way in Christ has been established through his blood. And there is no blockage in the way. The way is absolutely clear for us to come into the presence of the Lord based on the fact that we are covered by the blood of Jesus. We are sanctified according to Romans 5 and verse 9 by the blood of Jesus. The first demand that is being placed on us as new creatures in Christ. And it does not matter whether or not you got saved yesterday, this morning, or 100 years ago. We are required the same thing here. The first thing, like I said, that is being asked of us, let us draw near with a true heart in full of assurance of faith. Let us, believers, not let I, but let us. We are now in a community of believers. Get the thinking that is taking place here. Let us, in our prayer, sometime privately, in our prayer, we can say, I, me. But whenever time we are in the open, we have to involve the other believers in our prayer language. Let us, using the word us, using the word we, using the word ours, we are a company of believers in Christ. Go through the same process, having the same blood to enter in the same way because of Jesus. So the word is sent to us, let us draw near. No more being timid to come into the presence of the Lord. As the high priest would feel when he's entering into the Holy of Holies, he would feel that, what if I'm not worthy? I could be struck dead because the animal that I've just slaughtered had a blemish that I did not see. This time, the word is saying to us, on the basis of the sacrifice which was offered once and for all, and his blood was shed, the word is saying to us, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Let us draw nigh. The word said, if we draw nigh to him, he will draw near to us. Let us draw nigh to the throne of grace. Let us come into the presence of the Lord. You know, saints, this is the greatest motivator for you and I to come to church, to be on this platform each time that we come. That we are, the fact that we have been invited by God himself to draw near to him. To draw near to him. Take away all the timidity out of it. Take away all the things that you thought that might make you unworthy. Throw them through the window. The blood of Jesus speaks to us, speaks to God. It carries weight because it is not contaminated. It is pure, it is holy, and that is what we have on the lintel of our heart. As we approach God, God is looking for this blood. As we draw near to Him in fellowship. That's why we come here to our fellowship one with another. And this is one of the reasons why I keep emphasizing how important it is for us to have worship. And worship is something that we do have at the beginning of all our services. And that's why I ask the believers from time to time, if you could just open your mouth and give God thanks for something He had done. And even if you cannot remember anything, remember that Christ's blood was shed on behalf of you and me. And it daubs the lintel of our heart where we can come into the presence of the Lord without fear. Draw near! Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our heart sprinkled from evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Our bodies washed with pure water, indicating the work of the Holy Ghost upon us that caused us, hallelujah, to see Jesus and accept Him as Lord. We are washed by the blood. We are washed by the word of the Lord through the blessed Holy Spirit. And having been washed, the blood of Jesus was sprinkled on our heart. And therefore we are asked to come with full assurance, with full assurance, full confidence that we are coming into the presence of the Lord. And we are accepted because of Jesus. And the second demand, because we are experiencing a new way in Christ through the blood of Jesus, is in verse 23. Let us all fast. We're talking about Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us all fast the profession of our faith without wavering. You know, we are told in James that we must not waver. We must not be like the wave that goes out and comes in. But instead, we should be constant. We should maintain a constant relationship with the Lord. Not today you feel like you don't want to go to church, and tomorrow you feel like you would. But instead, we should have a constant relationship with the Lord. We should hold fast our profession. It means that we're going to expose to different challenges. It means we are going to be persecuted. It means we're going to face obstacles. But in those obstacles, what do? We maintain a full and strong relationship with the Lord. Let me read something to you about our past brothers and sisters who stood up in the face of challenges and defend what they believe. It is from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35. I read from verse 35. Women receive their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. and others are trials of cruel mockers and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in dens and in mountains and in the den and caves of the earth. These all having obtained a good report through faith, receive not the promise. I might as well, let me read the next verse. Verse 40, God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Here we go. The word said to us here in the second letter, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. In the circumstances I've just read, where our forefathers experienced and was exposed to all these different things, torture of different degree and different kind reaches them. But what do? They refuse to accept deliverance, lest in accepting these deliverance, they might lose out on their resurrection. I tell you, church, you and I today are experiencing different challenges. Different challenges. The enemy wants us to fall up, wants us to forget about our relationship with the Lord. But what we need to do, we need to hold fast our profession in Jesus. We need to cling to the Lord Jesus. We need to hold on to him more. I remember John, while Jesus was on the earth here, the word tells us that John would lean down on his breast, and John would listen to the pulse of his heart. John would be comfortable. Oh, believers, there's a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest near to the heart of God.
Yeah.
Let us hold fast our profession. Without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And the last point here that we see on this new way that the Lord wants us to do is to be found in verse 24. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. My brother, let me say this to you as I'm closing. Let me say this to you. The word said to us just now, let us consider. Let us think about it. Let us think about how I am going to encourage my brother, encourage my sister, even from a distance, in love. In love. Speak a word of encouragement to your brother, to your sister. Let us engage in a crusade of loving our brothers and sisters. Sometimes it is not just words that speak to we loving a brother or a sister. deeds are also important. Let us love our brother. Let us love the brother in the church. Let us love the sister in the church. Call my brother. Call my sister. Sometimes they might not answer the phone. Yes, I agree, for one reason or the other. But on our part, and when it comes to calling, I must tell you, I'm not the best as far as that part of it is concerned. But I, as I read this passage here, I discover that I need to do more. My sister needs to hear from me. My brother needs to hear from me. Just to say hi, all you do, God loves you. We are to consider it, and we are to do it. Provoke one another in love. Sometimes we are not the best in speaking humor. But I think, based on what the word is asking us to do right now, we need to find some humor in our conversations. We need to find a way to hear our brother or our sister chuckle on the other side of the phone. As we try to encourage one another, because we are all in this together. It is a, we are joined together with a common factor, and that is the blood of Jesus. Let us provoke one another. And then the next verse speaks true to power here. The next verse speaks that we should not. But see, the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is. Having spreading love, having provoking one another in love, we're going to find that our brother, our sister, will show more interest in coming to the different services as we worship together and find fellowship together. That is the new way in Christ. That is what it prescribes for us to do. That is what we are to engage in. Come boldly to the throne of grace. We need to reaffirm our faith in God, and we need to encourage one another in love. The old system has passed. The new system has been introduced by the Lord Jesus. And these are the way in which he expects the church to operate. As we come boldly to the throne of grace, and as we hold fast to our profession, our profession is believing what we believe. Believe in the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus. Believe in his mercy. Believe in his promises. Believe and exercise faith in God. That is the profession that we have. Lastly, to provoke one another in love. Call my brother. Call my sister. Find something to say that will create a chuckle. Find, encourage my brother to read the scripture. Encourage my sister to read the scripture. In love. In love. Not drilling it down their head or their throat, but encourage in love without hypocrisy. Romans, Paul speaking there over in Romans, and said, when he said we should love without dissimulation, not love in a hypocritical type of way, but genuine love, which produced this result. So today we are glad that we are engaged in this new way in Christ as we enter this new year and as we take this new approach. Let's see how God bless us as we look towards him to embrace our fellowship with him as we come boldly to the throne of grace. Let us pray. Father, I just thank you for what your word said to us. Your word speak loud to us here. That the new way that you have consecrated for us because of your broken body and your shed blood, help us to walk in the newness of life. We don't know the way, but you do. And it is you who receive us when we reach the throne of grace, because you have been made an high priest over the household of God. It is to you we apply when we get to the throne of grace. It is to you that we speak. It is to you that we expect result. You are our all in all. So we thank you for this word that opened our eyes to your provision for us as believers. And we pray, God, that we will apply ourselves accordingly. And to give you the glory and the praise that is due only to you, we say thanks. In Jesus' name.